started out with a purpose that was probably predominantly curiosity, and that curiosity was around the question of how is it that a crop like common bean, green bean, which originates in a tropical area, how is it that that can grow in places like Tasmania that are temperate?
So we're talking about just the common garden variety bean.
That's right, yeah. So it's the bean that you're familiar with, your French bean or your green bean, has climbing forms, but also, of course, there's a really significant use of it around the world as a dry grain. You know, many people around the world, it's a staple food for them.
So how did you carry the study out?
At the beginning, we started with comparing common forms of common bean and comparing them with the wild forms, so their ancestors that date from a time prior to domestication, unchanged for probably 10,000 years. And we were interested in the differences that have developed or have accumulated over time through human selection and through breeding from the wild form to the forms that we have today.
Now, when you say we, it's a bit of an international study. There was some collaboration, wasn't there?
Yeah, that's right. It was kind of good because we were interested in this ourselves and working on it. And as it progressed, we teamed up, we became aware of and teamed up with people who had interest in the question, perhaps from a slightly different angle, working in Spain and in China.
What's the history of the bean?
So bean, it's an interesting history. I mean, all crops have interesting histories, but beans are a little bit different. It comes from the Americas. So wild bean, there's many different species. We use some of them, but not all of them. And they grow, you know, sort of Central America is the main sort of focus of where they come from. And common bean was actually domesticated twice, once in Mexico and once in South America. So that's kind of interesting because many of the other species that we grow as crops, it's probably more common for them only to have been domesticated once as far as we know. So it's a little bit unusual.
So, Jim, putting this into context, how important is the bean to Tasmania agriculture?
We're not a great climate for growing dry bean, and that has to do with the length of the season and you know, we're all familiar with that sort of autumn rain that you can get, or late summer rain going to happen this year. But certainly green bean, fresh bean as a vegetable, is important in Tasmania. I think we punch above our weight in terms of production. The stats that I know about, recent stats, talk about, you know, around a quarter of the production, national production, occurs here in Tasmania. So that's not bad going.
So what did you find out about the reasons why the bean does grow in Tasmania?
We discovered something really critical, actually, and that was the altered function of a couple of specific genes. And those changes are actually what allows the bean plant to flower during summer here, because normally if you take a wild bean, that simply can't flower here grown during summer because the long days prevent it from flowering. So what permits a bean to grow here or in the UK or in North America or in China at higher latitudes is the fact that it's suffered some genetic changes that are actually good. They allow it to flower even though the days are long.
So how did those genetic changes take place? Was it through breeding?
So originally, and this is the interesting thing about this bean example, but also, you know, pick any crop that's at one point was just a wild plant growing in nature, we assume that these changes just happened spontaneously at some point. And as best we can pinpoint, that was probably, you know, it's in the thousands of years ago for bean. It's probably, you know, looking like 5,000 years or something like that, around that area. And they were noticed by people, and they were, you know, retained and collected and selected because somehow they made the plants grow better for those early farmers. And they've has spread as a crop. It's, you know, was discovered, quote unquote, by after European contact in South America. Then varieties were taken to Europe, and they represented varieties with some of these changes that allowed them to grow successfully in Europe. And then from Europe to America, America to Europe to China, Europe to Australia, they've been spread around the world. So we're actually talking about changes that are pretty old, you know, thousands of years. But there's been very little understanding of what those changes are And that creates problems for breeders today because they're kind of flying blind a little bit. And the more they know about the, you know, the specific things that control the traits and the performance, elements of performance that they're interested in, the easier their job is.
So what can Tasmanian farmers who grow beans take out of this study? And where can they access the results, by the way?
Right. Well, I'd hesitate to draw too long a bow on saying that there's a direct benefit for Tasmanian farmers. But the results can be accessed, they're published now, and we've written a little story on the university website about this work. But I guess maybe I can say in general that perhaps Tasmanian farmers could be encouraged that here at UTAS, in addition to sort of work that's directly, directly addressing critical practical issues, agricultural issues here in the state, we're also able to contribute to the broader picture, and both nationally and internationally. And that really comes back in maybe intangible ways, but quite important ways to give us access to knowledge and to help the whole exercise along, as it were. We're working on a national scale on some of these questions.
And Jim, when you meet other scientists now and you tell them what study you've been doing, you've been studying the bean, what do they say?
Yeah, it's funny. It's easy to get hung up. Actually, I don't think of it as being hung up, because every time you study a specific plant, you get really into it and you sort of live and breathe that for a little while. So you have to accept that you're going to be the bean person for a while. But over time, you learn to enjoy that, I guess, accumulate a few other things that you've worked on.
Yeah. I won't go to the Mr. Bean area, but are you a fan of beans? Do you eat them?
Absolutely, absolutely. Grow them at home. That's really where all this started, just sort of out in the garden thinking about how it is that I can grow these things in Tasmania.
Associate Professor Jim Weller from UTAS and his study into beans. Well, another researcher involved in the project, Jackie Vandershore, says it's become a story of more than just a study of why beans can grow in Tasmania. Jackie Vandershore says it's now somewhat of a fairy tale story of a possible world record tallest bean.
Well, we grew a population of beans that was like a cross between a wild bean that grows really tall and a domesticated bean, which is like the normal garden variety bush type bean that's determinate that it's not very tall at all. And then when we grew a population of the subsequent generations, all sorts of things came out, including very, very tall beans. And we ended up measuring all of those beans and grew something that was longer than 15 metres.
Did you have a Jackie and the Beanstalk moment?
You aren't the first person to say that to me. That joke is common around here. But unfortunately, there's no golden egg at the end of it, I don't think so. Or maybe this paper is anyway.
Okay, but there is a possibility of a record. How tall were these beans?
Some of them were well over, 10 metres, and we had one that measured 15.63 metres, so that was our longest bean.
And did they grow a crop on that all the way along?
Yeah, so usually the tallest beans are the ones that have flowered really late, so they don't flower for a long time, hence the reason why they put heaps and heaps of leaves on. But when they do flower, yes, they produce a crop on those beans, yep.
Okay, so people listening out there are going to say, what were you feeding them?
Well, they're under lovely glasshouse conditions where they get weekly nutrient. I'm not quite sure what the nutrient is, but they're certainly very happy beans who get looked after well. So, yeah, under those conditions, they can grow pretty tall.
And how did you control that growth with regard to the length they were growing?
It took up the whole glasshouse. People were complaining, actually, that we took up the whole glasshouse. But what we did was we lay the beans down along the rows. The rows were sort of, say, 5 metres long, and then we'd wrap them back on themselves so they kind of go back and forward along the rows, and it gets pretty messy after a while. And then we'd sort of string them up above on these wire rows above us, and we'd string them up almost like a hose type thing, just coil them round each other, and so that they got long that way.
Why do you think they grew so long? Was it just the interaction between the wild bean and the normal bean that we see in the garden?
Yeah, what happens when you make a really wide cross is you're never quite sure what you're going to get. But also there's a genetic basis for that too. The wild bean is indeterminate, so it naturally grows really long normally, but it also is being grown under conditions in which it flowers really late as well. So the wild bean is requires short days to flower. So we grew this population under long days, which means, some of them almost didn't flower at all. And so that means they grew for a really long time before they even flowered. And so that's part of the reason why they are the longest, because not only are they indeterminate, but they also flowered really late.
What are you going to do with this information you have about how tall these beans grew? Are you claiming a world record?
I actually am not sure about how you go about claiming these records, but having looked at the Guinness Book of Records for the longest bean, I saw that they had one that was like 14.1 metres. So we've definitely surpassed that. So I should have a look into what the actual requirements are for getting the record. But yeah, that would be pretty cool, I reckon.
And you do know the nursery rhyme, don't you? The story, the age-old story.
Sing it to me.
And the fee-fi-fo-fum, were they saying that to you as well?
Yeah. No, I didn't. I don't think they stooped that low, but yeah.
How would you describe your experience in this research project that you'll probably never forget?
No. This one's actually been one of my most favourite, I think, because it's just really interesting to find out things about beans that were kind of secrets since they were first domesticated back 8,000 years. So that's been really exciting, and also really enjoyed collaborating with the Spanish team and the Chinese group as well. So, yeah, it's been a big collaboration, which I've enjoyed as well. So, yeah, hopefully the things that we've found will be useful for breeding programs in the future, but yeah, just put it out there first.
And are you going to throw some beans into the back garden?
Yes, I do have actually some runner beans in the garden, and they've grown pretty tall and they're up now on my deck, so I can lean over my deck and pick my beans. So that's pretty fun.
Just as long as they don't keep growing up into the clouds.
That's right. Very true.
Yeah, UTAS researcher Jackie Vandeshoor on the Bean Research Project, which looks like it could produce a world record tallest bean of 15.63 metres. That is one long plant. Current record in the Guinness Book of Records is 14.1 metres, so we'll watch this space.